during this season of Lent leading up to Easter, we're looking over a number of Sundays at the farewell teaching of Jesus. We have this in John's Gospel, chapters 14 through to chapter 17, often called Jesus' farewell discourse. Now, it's important to hold on to the big picture here. Really hold on to these two things. First, Jesus, knowing his crucifixion is imminent, is telling his disciples that he is leaving them. He is going back to God the Father, going back to the Father's house, as we were hearing last week. And secondly, along with this, Jesus is teaching his disciples that because he is going back to God the Father, the gift of the Holy Spirit will come to them and all that that will mean for them. So holding on to these two themes which go hand in hand will help us to navigate our way through these rather complex verses. First, that Jesus is teaching that he's about to leave them. And secondly, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. Now, this morning's passage can be divided into five sections. So first, section 1, verses 15 to 18. Look at verse 18. Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Can we somehow put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples? How must they have been feeling? They had literally left everything to follow this Jesus. They had left their employment, fishermen, tax collecting, or whatever. They had chosen to follow him, to commit their lives to following him as their leader. Indeed, elsewhere, Peter says, "We've left everything to follow you." They had been with Jesus for 3 wonderful years, seeing the amazing things, including healings that he had done, listening to his teaching, including the parables, experiencing and enjoying his presence, his transforming friendship. And they really believe now that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one, the coming king, the one who would actually inaugurate the kingdom of God on earth as in heaven. But now Jesus is informing them that he's about to leave them. He has said to them previously, "My children, I'll be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, but where I am going, you cannot come." And Jesus has had to say to them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." But they are indeed. Their whole world has been so wrapped up with Jesus over 3 years that the prospect of his departure is devastating. A future without Jesus is a shattering prospect. Emotionally, they can only contemplate the loss of Jesus. It's like a child's loss of his or her parents. So Jesus says to them here, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." How? Verse 16 tells us, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." So Jesus promises them that after his death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit will come to them, as indeed was to happen on the day of Pentecost. So it's for their good that Jesus is going away, the blessing of his absence, as it's been called. So who is this promised Holy Spirit and what will he do? Jesus teaches them. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Now, this word translated advocate here comes from the Greek word parakletos, which literally means someone who is called in, someone who is called alongside to help. So advocate is a good translation of this Greek word. For an advocate is someone called in to support someone in a law court, or an expert called in to give advice in a difficult situation. But there are other translations of this Greek word parakletos, all of which are useful. William Barclay translates this, I will give you another helper to be with you forever. The King James Bible, the authorized version, says, he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Jesus himself had been their wise counselor while he was with them, but now it would be the Holy Spirit who would be their counselor. And Eugene Peterson in The Message writes this, I will talk to the Father and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. And this friend is the Spirit of Truth. So this is the promise of Jesus to his anxious, confused, and bewildered disciples. His going away back to heaven means that God the Father will send them the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the helper, the counselor, the friend, the Spirit of Truth, who will be with them and indeed will be in them forever. Such will be the gift of the departed Jesus. What a wonderful promise. Unlike the transient presence of their master, the disciples will have this advocate, this counselor, the Holy Spirit, with them forever. So Jesus going away will not leave them unsupported and unguided as they are naturally fearing. And we today, when we have hard tasks to do, when we have difficult things to cope with, we too wonderfully have the Holy Spirit with us and within us, the advocate, the helper, who will guide us as to what to do and who will empower us and strengthen us in order to make us able to do it. In this Christian life, we are never, never on our own. So now section 2 in this passage, verses 19 to 21. Another blessing of Jesus' promised gift to them of the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit will unite the disciples to the risen Jesus in a new intimacy of communion and relationship. Verses 19 and 20. Because I live, says Jesus, you also will live. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. To quote one New Testament commentator, here is Jesus' deepest reassurance to hearts troubled by his departure. He will not, in fact, leave them. Jesus himself will come to them through the Holy Spirit, which the world, confined within naturalistic categories, can neither discern nor measure. Jesus declares, because I live, you too will live. It's because he lives that we live. As the mill wheel is turned by the rush of living water and cannot turn without it, the Holy Spirit helps us to be spiritually alive to God. To the disciples and to all who believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts as a constant guest. So our bodies and souls are temples of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Because I live, you also, says Jesus, you also will live. And notice that Jesus says in verse 19, before long the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. After the crucifixion, the enemies of Christ came down the hill at Calvary when all was over, well satisfied with their day's work. For they'd made an end of this upsetter of people, this so-called king, this so-called savior. That was all over. There would be no more of him. But they were wrong. How wrong they were. For Jesus was raised to newness of life by the power of Almighty God, victorious over death and sin and all the powers of darkness. And from heaven, after his resurrection and ascension, when he went back to God the Father to be at his right hand in glory and honor, from heaven he sent, as promised, the Holy Spirit, so that the disciples and the early church and millions of Christians since, including ourselves, can live in daily communion with him. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, unites us in a new intimacy of communion, closeness of relationship. On that day, Jesus says in verse 20, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. He himself, far from deserting them, will come to them and dwell with them and in them, as indeed he dwells with us and dwells in us through the promised gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. I have some more to say on this passage, but first a hymn. All this teaching of Jesus is as the cross of Calvary comes very, very, very near. It's drawing very close. So remaining seated, let's sing this meditative hymn, What Kind of Love Is This? Thirdly, let us look at section 3, verses 22 to verse 24. So Jesus continues to teach his disciples what the promised gift of the Holy Spirit will mean. And a third blessing seen here is that the Spirit will support them in their loving obedience to the teaching of Jesus. Verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. So love for Jesus implies obedience to him, to live our life after the pattern, after the picture of his. And conversely, obedience is the evidence of love, indeed the only proof of our love for Jesus. What's the point of anyone saying that they love Jesus if they do not seek to do what he says or try to follow his clear teaching as we have recorded for us in Scripture? Let me quote William Barclay here. He writes, there is only one test of love, and that test is obedience. It was by his obedience that Jesus showed his love of God, and it is by our obedience that we must show our love to Jesus. Obedience is a way of practical action. It's a way of humble service to others. And the Holy Spirit, the Helper, helps us to do that. God's way of working in the world is by the indwelling of himself in the lives and hearts of those who know and love and serve Jesus the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not what we do that matters, but rather what we allow God in his grace to do in us and through us. Moving on to section 4, verses 25 and 26. A further blessing, says Jesus, is that the Spirit, when he comes, will teach them. Verse 26, the Advocate, there's that word again, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The word disciple in Latin literally means learner. We should really all be walking around with large L plates on. L for learner, for disciple. For we are all learners at the feet of Jesus, who is our teacher and our master. And notice in verse 26 that it's the work of the Holy Spirit to remind the disciples of everything that Jesus has said to them. Dr. Samuel Johnson thought that we need more frequently to be reminded rather than informed. The spoken teaching of Jesus is coming to an end with his departure back to heaven. But the Advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, will continue the work of Jesus' Son. And this will consist in recalling the vital truths that have been heard. The work of the Holy Spirit, says Jesus, is to remind us of everything he has already said to us as recorded in Scripture. No less, and certainly no more. And fifthly and finally, verse 27. Let me just read again its calming words, and we can somehow picture Jesus saying these calming words to his confused disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The legacy of Jesus, the parting gift of his peace. Two artists were once commissioned to paint their conception of peace. A panel of distinguished judges would determine which artist had best captured the idea, and the winner would get a rich commission. After they'd been painting for a long time, the judges assembled to view their work. The first artist unveiled his painting, and there was a beautiful, magnificent pastoral scene, with a farmer coming in after a hard day in the fields. His wife was cooking, his children were playing around the fireside hearth, and all was at peace in this tranquil and serene and beautiful farm. That's it, said the judges, that's the winner. But we'll look at the other one anyway. They removed the veil of the second painting. Instead of a tranquil, peaceful pastoral scene, there was a raging waterfall producing a dark mist which communicated menace and hostility. But over on the side of the waterfall was a tiny branch of a tree growing out of a rock. And on the end of the branch was a bird's nest. And on the edge of the nest was a mother bird, singing her heart out right in the midst of the turbulence and chaos and noise all around her. The judges thought for a while, and then they said, this is the winner, for this is peace and tranquility in the midst of noise and trouble and turmoil. And that is the kind of peace that our Jesus gives. For Jesus actually once said, just he said it openly, in this world, he said, you will have trouble. But even in the midst of all the chaos and turmoil and confusion and difficulties, we can still know the peace of Christ deep, deep down within our hearts. Peace I leave with you. My peace, he says, I give you. One of the praise songs that we sing at Easter has the words, the voice that spans the years, speaking life, stirring hope, bringing peace to us. And C.S. Lewis once observed, God cannot give us peace and happiness apart from himself, because there is no such thing. So to sum up, in these very last days with them, Jesus continues to teach his disciples that he will shortly be leaving them. And their understandable distress and confusion, he promises them the coming gift of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Helper, the Counselor, who will unite the disciples to Jesus in the intimacy of loving communion, who will support them in loving obedience to the teaching of Jesus, who will be their teacher and remind them of everything he has said to them, and who will impart to them the peace of Christ. Let us pray. In a moment of silent prayer and reflection,